This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and this morning we're going to be talking about the bats bus, and I'm joined by Director of the Senior Centre, AJ Mark. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, AJ.
Yes.
And Gary Love, you are new to town and you are now the Transit Director for the bats bus. Welcome.
Correct.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. So one of the reasons for talking, gentlemen, is because you have a fancy new barn and there was a ribbon cutting
yes.
ceremony. And the barn is, I'm assuming, it's to store all your vehicles safely, but also any other, accessories and other things that you need. But this is a great time to talk about the bats bus in itself and the kind of service that it is. I've noticed that the little bats buses, those little vans, are much more visible lately, and you mentioned to me that you have a new logo. Maybe that's why. But it does seem that your fleet is bigger. Is your fleet bigger?
So we are still running three vehicles in town, and that's Monday through Friday.
Yeah, three in town, one out of town.
Yep.
And it just looks like there's more because we're busier.
Okay. Yep.
More people are using it.
Yep.
What do you attribute that to? I'd like to talk a little bit about how it works and how people can jump on, but why do you think it's busier?
I think it's just our marketing, I think, a little bit has been helpful. And, we really have gotten into, Learning Tree, the school, and I think some of those kids that used, and parents that have used our services prior or earlier, just continue to use it once their kids got into, Metal Arc and that sort of thing. So I think that's one of the reasons why it started to get a little bit more busy. And I think just word of mouth, people, knowing that the Bats bus is available for anyone. That is a stigma we continually fight, is that it's the senior bus, and we're not the senior bus. It's a public transit for everyone in our community. So regardless of age, we take little kids that are three-year-olds going to preschool or daycare, all the way up to seniors going to, doctor's appointments or hair appointments or grocery shopping or whatever. We provide services to anyone that needs a ride.
And, of course, it was a service that's been going for several decades, but it has been spawned and it still is housed in the senior centre. So you are fighting that.
Yeah.
Connection there, I suppose.
Exactly. And we are working on separating that out a little bit. And, I think most people that ride our bus, they now understand. But it's just the general consensus and understanding in the community that, the senior center runs the bus and it's a senior bus. You know what I mean? And so, we're trying to separate that out a little bit. We've created our own website. So there's a new website just for the Bats bus. So it's not associated with the senior center. We're just trying to separate that out a little bit. The Senior Center will always continue to run it. We run it under our nonprofit, our 501c3. In order for us to get those kind of federal grants, we have to be able to do that and have that nonprofit status. But, I think we do want to separate it out just so the community fully understands that it's, available to anyone, not just seniors.
So can you describe the service itself? How does it work?
The Senior Center runs it, and that's part of why we're able to provide it for $1 in town.
Right.
That is an amazing
it's
fare.
We're able to provide a service for a really good price. And then what was your question?
So my question is, how does the service work? How many vehicles do you have, and how do people, how do you operate the service? What are you offering?
So basically what we do is we put three vans in town throughout the day. So I've been trying to start them a little earlier, so I want to get more people riding it to work. I want it to be more of a thing where people can get to work on the bus and get home. And so we're starting to run it a little earlier, and so I'm starting my guys at 7:30, but I can move it a little earlier as needed. And then last rides at 4:30 in the afternoon. And we run 10-minute windows. So every 10 minutes, we're picking somebody up, dropping somebody off, and we've made it more accessible that way. Whereas we used to run 15-minute window. Now, with the 10-minute window, we can service more riders.
Yep. And so it works a little bit like an Uber or a taxi or minicab type service. You call up and say, I need a...
Yep.
And you can call up and say, I need it right away, or can you can call up and make
it... It's a demand response system. So they can call us up and we can get them on the next available window that's closest to whatever they need. Generally, we like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
An hour or two, but there's sometimes where somebody needs to get to the emergency room or whatever, and we'll try and get them as quick as we can, or somebody's late for work, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they can book it, you know, I've got it set where they can book it a ride all the way into December.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's for in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so within city limits, or do you venture outside of city limits too?
We do venture outside of city limits. So we do change our fare a little bit. So we go up to 5 miles out of town. You know, obviously we don't take that literally. If somebody's 6 or 7 miles out of town, we'll go get them. But we do have a different fare for that. It's a whole $2 for that fare. And then we also make trips up to Sheridan Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we go to Gillette Tuesdays and Thursdays. And what we have different charges for that. I believe it's $10 to go to Sheridan, and that's a round trip.
$5 there and $5 back to Sheridon.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do? Do you have a sort of a set time that you leave, and then you go to various places, or mm-hmm. can people choose where they go to in Sheridan?
We leave the senior center at 7:30. And then we pick the rest of the folks up that are going in town at 7:40, 7:50. We do have a few customers that get on in Story at 8:20, but generally we're into Sheridan by 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And what do you do in Sheridan? How long are you there for?
Well, we're there until the last appointment is fulfilled, and then we come back.
Yep.
So generally it's... You know, we're leaving Sheridan at 2 p.m.
Yep.
and heading back to Buffalo.
Yep, and most people riding go up for medical appointments. Like, for example, we have a person that rides our bus every Monday, Wednesday, Friday to Sheridan because they are getting dialysis. And so we drop that person off in the morning, they go through their process of dialysis, we pick them up in the afternoon and take them home. Or we take a lot of people to the vets, to the VA up there, to the VA hospital.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's people that like to go to Walmart and that sort of thing, and we'll take them there too. But the main purpose of both trips to Gillette and to Sheridan is for those medical appointments. And so that's really what we're trying to accomplish with that. And normally, we'd like people to call in the day before, you know, they need a ride. It just helps us schedule what's going on. You know, if somebody doesn't have an appointment till 3 o'clock, in the afternoon, or even, you know, noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's a longer appointment, then we like to schedule everything else around that. If we have other people that are just going shopping, then we'll, you know, push that start time back a little bit, so that way that person that's going up for that medical appointment doesn't have to wait on the bus for 4 hours before their appointment. So we that's why we like to have it a little bit beforehand, at least a day before, so we can kind of plan that out and then communicate that to the other riders that are going up. So
and then in when they're in Sheridan, we have an arrangement with the senior center in Sheridan with the hub, and our folks that are waiting for other folks appointments to be done, they can go hang out at the hub and have a lunch or a coffee or whatever.
Yep.
It sounds like it's kind of a social time too for people.
Sure.
I mean, they have a
it
purpose
be,
in wanting
yeah.
to go,
yep.
but you know, you're also connecting people, and mm-hmm. some issues for some people is that, you know, they find it hard to get out and meet
yeah.
others, so there is some kind of social interaction.
Generally
too.
A transit bus ride in most cities is a dull experience or a scary experience in some places, but here we like to try and make it more of a fun experience.
Do you sing songs on the bus?
Well, I don't know about my drivers doing that, but maybe some of the customers do. Yeah, like our drivers that go out of town are really good. We have really good guys that do our out-of-town stuff.
Are you looking for more drivers?
All the time about it.
Are you looking for drivers?
No, we're actually pretty full right now. I think we have 8 drivers on staff.
Yeah, we're pretty good for drivers right now. And as demand increases, then we'll be needing some more, but right now we're full up.
And AJ, you have this wonderful new barn. You didn't build mm-hmm. it to capacity. You built it with the vision of getting of being mm-hmm. able to grow. What visions are there for the future for the BATS service?
Yeah, well, we just want to increase awareness in the community. You know, again, that this system is available to everyone. You know, I don't know how big it could grow. You know, we have projections when we've done our strategic planning and that sort of thing. You know, I think our max, as far as what we were trying to project anyway, you know, is having 8 vehicles available, maybe running 4 or 5 vehicles in town, and then maybe also running two vehicles out of town a day. But that would probably be the max kind of capacity and more of a future type of a progress. I mean, there's other potentials too. You know, I know the Middle Ark Ski Lodge, and we've been, you know, we've talked to them to start to potentially run a bus up there every day, or maybe even on the weekends for people that want to go skiing, those kind of things. But you know, we do some other community type things too. We worked with the TA Ranch when they did their
fire and ice
thing. Yeah. Yep. So we ran a bus for that. We're going to be running our vehicles again for Longmire days. So we do some of those community things too. And yeah, I guess we're just going to adapt as the community grows and what the community demands are. We'll just adapt to what's needed.
Do you ever envisage a time when you'd be running an evening service?
Potentially, yes, right. Potentially. That's been one of the things that, and one of the problems that we've had, especially, you know, I know the hospital has had some issues too with people going into the emergency room in the evenings, and maybe they don't have any friends or family here. They have no way to get home. And
yes, because that's not a service that really anybody else is responsible for.
Right.
I know that our local ambulance service will take people home, you
right.
know, if it is absolutely necessary. But I also know that
yep.
ER nurses have sometimes done it themselves.
Yep.
So
exactly.
It's there is definitely a need for that, but also just people who want to go out in the evening
mm-hmm.
who then don't want to drive home or maybe don't have a vehicle.
Yep. And that's been a conversation of ours too. And you know, the big question is how late do we want to be open, and then what types of clientele are we going to be getting if we're open that late? Because with our federal funding and those grants that we get, if we decide to stay open till 10, 11 o'clock at night, we cannot deny a ride. We have to offer to the entire community. So, you know, we couldn't make it just specifically for the hospital, or just specifically for, you know, one other organization. We'd have to leave it open to the public. And so if we do that, there's some benefits, you know, obviously that are coming in through that, but then also some problems that we may run into as well. You know, obviously people staying out later, you know, if we take them home, obviously gets them off of the road from driving, but it also exposes our bus drivers to a higher level of liability, potentially a higher level of problems that could arise during that too. So yeah, it's just something that we're trying to balance out on how late do we want to be open, and what are the pros and cons, how do we deal with the additional liability, how do we deal with all of the other issues that potentially could come with that.
And as with everything, there seems to be a lot of red tape.
Oh, always.
Especially when you have some kind of federal funding or some kind of grant.
Yes.
There is always an extra string attached, it seems.
There is.
Just not as
yep.
straightforward as you would like it to be.
Right.
Well, thank you very much indeed for explaining a little bit about the BATS bus. I don't think I really knew exactly how it worked, and you've got literally a lot of moving parts, but it's a fabulous service for this community, and you just really want to encourage people that it's not just for seniors, it's for everyone.
Correct.
Yep. We've got a new website, whybats.com. They can go register for rides on there, book rides, look at the windows, see what's available for the day, and it runs live so they can see exactly where they're at in the day.
And there's a link next to this audio which will
perfect.
Just take you directly to the website. So, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. I wish you luck with all these logistics, and and may it all go smoothly.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.